Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Sports Doctor has just a couple of points to pay big attention to all of us, and that is extra hygiene and be informed with this health crisis that we're all facing. Extra hygiene and be informed. We've got a great doubleheader today, Rich Dubin, sports dad. He's the publisher of LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, goes out to so many different professional groups, celebrated the 10th anniversary, and very excitedly, the newly launched MVP parent magazine. He's returning along with Jill Lane. Jill is the founder of Fueling Champions. She's a sports nutrition and performance specialist for From Pros to Kids. Jill is contributing also to MVP Magazine. Then the Sports Doctor's in and upcoming shows and your emails. First, I want to welcome back to the Sports Doctor, MVP Parent Magazine publisher, Rich Dubin. Rich, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Great. Give us a quickie background, Rich. You know, Rich has been in the publishing world for 30 years. He's been a champion of podiatry education. Give us a quickie background of what you've been doing and what have led you to the new venture.
Okay. So as you stated, I've been in publishing for 30 years, predominantly on the medical side. However, I've also have four kids, 25, 22, 18, and soon to be 13. Two older sons, two younger daughters, and I've been involved in youth sports for over, you know, close to 25 years now, not to mention what I did myself when I was coming up. And throughout my, you know, time being out there on the court or on the field, given my background, I've always had parents coming to me asking me questions. You know, what should we eat? How long should we sleep? Does this helmet fit? Should my kid get orthotics? What about this ankle brace? What about the knee injury she sustained? How can I prevent ACL injuries in my daughter? All these questions. And so it got me thinking, given my background in content development and publishing, maybe there's a need in this space for a publication geared towards the parents of youth athletes. So about 3 years ago, we started developing it, and just last fall, just this past fall, we launched our first issue and addressed those same issues. The other thing that we've addressed in MVP Parent that really doesn't get talked about very much, and you'll see it in the first issue, is, you know, how to keep your child playing sports when the parents are divorced. How much sleep should you get? You know, just a host of topics, bad parenting. I mean, that's one I know we've all experienced as parents.
Now, of course, either. Rich, you come from the world of biomechanics. You come from the world of lower extremity sports medicine and health. And I've been talking about that maybe 25 years, give or take a few weeks, you know, here on the Sports Doctor.
For sure.
About youth sports. And my excitement is I have put together a world of experts and knowledge to contribute, be part of, and get excited about MVP Parent. You know, again, on the Sports Doctor, whether we're talking, that's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. As you know, there is an epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. I pay big attention, as you know, Rich, to the mental game. We have experts on from all over the world. Whether we're talking about what's the best shoe for your son or daughter, to what are we going to do about concussions, to what about all this pressure on these kids, Mm-hmm. And you, as a professional of the finest caliber with your magazines and your publishing, sharing with me over these past couple of years the excitement that you really were going to do this. You were going to jump in to the middle of the, like we say in the book, the wild, wacky, expensive world of,
absolutely,
of youth sports. And of course, you're a sports dad, and you know, such a big part of that whole world also is the nutrition side of thing, which is why we've got Jill Lane sharing the show with us. So all of those questions, you know, have always been in the middle of so many things going on. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, gosh, you can go back almost 10 years. Before that, I think we were using Reel to Reel.
I think Rich has been on the show probably three or four different times.
And again, we have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. If you go to @SportsDoc, DOC Radio, constant sports medicine information besides who's been on the show, who's not. And if you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, because Lower Extremity Review is one of the supporters of the Sports Doctor, you'll read a myriad of articles that I participated with them. We're talking to the CEO, Rich Dubin, the longtime publisher. Happy anniversary, your 10th anniversary.
Thank you.
LER Magazine. Ooh. And the excitement of MVP Parent. What sports have your kids played, Rich?
So they've played all. So my daughter at one point was a three-sport athlete. In high school, she played lacrosse, field hockey, and basketball. And then as you bring up the sports specialization, you have parents now pushing their kids to specialize in sports at a much younger age. I've never done that. When she was ready to choose one sport, she did.
Yeah, that's because you didn't have a figure skater, Rich.
Now she's going to play basketball at the collegiate level next year. She's graduating high school this year and going to play basketball at the collegiate level next year. So I think that there's a lot of, you bring up a lot of points in your intro, and I think that what is most important with MVP Parent is that we're able to utilize and leverage the evidence-based medicine from LER Magazine, which goes to clinicians across the country and is authored by clinicians.
That's a big-time marriage.
To actually, if it's not evidence-based, if you're not disseminating content that can be trusted, then it's just random blogging information. It's not coming through as a credible resource, and we want to be that publication that parents can trust.
What's the website when
we say something? The website
is
MVPParent.com. Simple. All our content from the first issue is up there.
You got to love
that
title.
They can subscribe. Yeah. Everyone that I've told has loved the title. Everyone that we've talked about the magazine has loved the title. And Bob, as you know, you've been instrumental in connecting us with some experts across the country, of which we're going to be collaborating with in upcoming issues. So in this issue, which is your next guest, Jill Lane, the issue that's coming out this month, we'll be authoring a piece on nutrition, which is fantastic, and news that most parents need to be aware of. She's been training, been coaching nutrition coaching youth athletes for a long time, as well as the professional level. We've also spoken with numerous others that are experts in sports psychology.
You're on the team, Rich.
The guests that I circulate
for a decade, the iSport 360s, the National Alliance of Youth Sports, What with Parents
Quit Proof
Sports,
Quit Proof Kids,
of these organizations are changing the game. As an example, everybody, just on their initial issue, that was almost under the radar, whether it was a topic on getting enough sleep, whether it was the crucial topic of what about concussions, getting the kids to speak up, talk about this a lot, pitch counts, the arm problems with these kids, huge topics, mindfulness, the tips to decompressing, and children of divorce, parents behaving badly, is just an example of the variety of tremendously important topics that are going to be part. Is the magazine, Rich, going to be quarterly?
The magazine is going to be quarterly, yep, 4 issues a year. Cover price is only $4.95, but they can get it delivered to their house for $9.99 a year, basically half price.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And
we give that discount courtesy of the Sports Doctor.
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, the education side of the sports parenting world, whether it's any of us being so familiar with the overzealous parents, the ranting, mm-hmm. raving parents, the big-time pressure on kids, whether it's to get a scholarship, whether it's mm-hmm. one of the biggest topics in my book, the chapter is called Youth Sports and Drugs, where we mm-hmm. have half the serious youth athletes are living yep. on ibuprofen,
yep.
other pain
yep.
medicine, to stay in the game. And everybody who listens to the Sports Doctor, Rich, knows that one of my main points, parents, is if your son or daughter needs pain medicine to participate, you're over the line. You got to start backing off.
How about vaping, Bob? How about vaping?
Yes.
We're doing an article on vaping in our next issue, The Effects on Athletic Performance. Not by opinion, but by research. Yeah.
Yes. These are huge, huge topics that will continue to be a challenge. The world of social media is mm-hmm. a gigantic challenge. In the Dr. McDermott, who I've introduced you to, who contributed to my book, she's an adult and child holistic psychiatrist on the West
yep.
Coast, talked about the incredible challenges as social media gets mixed into the mix here, whether it's eye health or attention spans or other kinds of situations. Mm-hmm. And again, having a educational vehicle where all of these topics can be discussed at length. We can call on. I told you I got 200 experts lined up to write articles.
Sure.
Well,
let me interject something, Bob. What I think is happening, there is this shift in paradigm occurring among youth sports. Typically, it hasn't been about the kids. It's been about the adults, the winning, the losing. It hasn't been about keeping the kids healthy. But in a lot of individuals that I've spoken with, that you've linked me up with, there's so many differences being made out there in the world of youth sports.
Yes.
But everything is being operated in a silo. Everyone's doing their part in their community as much as they can. And I think MVP is going to be that voice for everyone to speak to all the parents. And even the ones that are not open to hear the message, even the ones that are sort of closed off and closed-minded and think they know it all, are going to have a very hard time reading the evidence-based medicine
yes.
facts.
Well, your moniker,
on these issues.
Your moniker, Rich.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your moniker is keeping your athlete in the game.
That's right.
The Sports Doctor has always talked about this. Two things, really only two, everybody cares about. I might throw in three because having fun for kids is supposed to be important. But the two
mm-hmm.
things everybody cares about, can I prevent injuries and problems?
Yep.
And the other thing for that segment who's interested is can I be quicker, faster, stronger, jump higher?
Mm-hmm.
And enhance
mm-hmm.
performance. And these are the kinds of things that are fantastic, exciting, and wonderful, but they're
mm-hmm.
also challenging. And overkill is a big problem in youth sports. And we could define overkill, you know, for the next 2 weeks. Everybody knows what we're talking about. And
mm-hmm.
again, being able to take a look at these realities. You know, the documentary that I've got you involved with, Joel Franco, frequent guest of mine, is the producer of the upcoming Where Our Children Play, the challenge
mm-hmm.
of youth sports, and talking about, you know, there's so much good that's going on in the world
mm-hmm.
of sports, and there's this tremendous paradigm shift like you talked about. And you know what? We're still treading water, Rich.
Yes, I know.
Believe me.
I know. It's a long swim, right? And it's a long ride. But I think
yes.
we're all thinking in the same way. And
yeah,
for the ones that aren't,
the
they got to get on board or be left behind.
Yes. you know, 20%, 15%, 12% of the elbow surgeries done. Tommy John is in adolescence now. Nuts.
Yeah, I know.
From over.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yes.
And
you know, as you contributed in our next issue on sports specialization. I mean, that's a major issue that parents, I don't think, understand fully.
Yes. But remember, Rich, there are what I call, as a chapter in my book, last couple of minutes, it's called the prodigy sports. If your son, I've been putting orthotics in figure skater skates for 35 years. My poster boy, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, was 10 years old when I put orthotics in the skates. Mm-hmm. These kids, the gymnasts, the ballet dancers, even tennis, I don't want to play any other sport, Dad. Don't you understand? Mm-hmm. I want to play the one sport. It's a big challenge. We don't recommend it. We talk all day. I want your son or daughter, like you gave great examples of your family, to be a three-sport athlete, use different parts of the body, unless you're a figure skater. And then it's a, my love is over here. So we pay particular attention to these kids also while we're absolutely talking about, you know, 80% of the women's Gold Cup champion soccer team played multiple sports. I was amazed because we see these prodigies in soccer, you know, all day long. So are you going to be a seasonal, like you'll come out spring, summer, fall, winter?
Exactly. Four times a year. And, you know, our covers and some of our articles will be sort of tailored to that sport.
Yeah, what are the articles? I know your magazine's coming out in a week. It's coming out.
Yes.
Give me the website.
End of the month.
Okay.
It's coming out the end of the month, Bob. And we have an article on helmets. They don't fit properly. We have hygiene. That's extremely important, obviously, timely with, you know, the coronavirus.
Wow, is that time.
Stabilization training or early sports specialization and injury. And then we have the old topic. We have something that really hasn't, I haven't seen it talked about at all in any youth sports even forum, is on vaping and how it affects your athletes.
Rich,
and then we
give
have
me the website.
Contributing to nutrition. I mean, we have so much,
Rich,
so
give
many
me the website.
Positive pieces going on. The website, again, is mvpparent.com, mvpparent.com. And they can click, they could subscribe, they can read the articles.
Hey, Rich Cooper, the CEO, Professor.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks so much, Rich, for joining me. We're going to get you back with the excitement. Rich, hold on a quick minute. Be right back, everybody. It's Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're excited to have back on the show Jill Lane. Jill is a former semi-pro athlete herself. She is a longtime trainer of champions in the world of nutrition. She's the founder of Fueling Champions, which deals from kids to pros. Jill, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Dr. Bob, always great to be with you. Thank you for having me back.
It's exciting to have you back. You know, we're all excited about the MVP Parent Magazine. And it's amazing. I don't know if it's karma. The last time I had you on with me a year ago, year and a half, Jill's been on a couple times, the Sports Doctor. You were on along with Rich Dubin.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, what are the odds of that? I thought it's great karma. Jill, give us a little bit of background on yourself in the world of sports nutrition.
Well, I think the biggest thing to know about me is that I really believe that to help create a successful athlete, we must fuel them with the right foods to maximize their potential. And over my 20 years in the industry, what I've really realized is that to actually create a champion, which is what most athletes want to be and what most parents want out of their student athlete. And when I say champion, Dr. Bob, I'm not meaning like wins and losses and MVP trophies. I'm talking about just a high character person who has great self-confidence, who's a worker, who's kind, and who's just a great contributor to society. To create that champion, it takes more than just food. It takes making sure that we're fueling the athlete's sense of spirit, making sure that they have great self-confidence and that they become the leader they were meant to be on and off the field. So that's what my 20 years in this industry working with, you know, people who've won Super Bowls and hoisted NBA championships down to families with multiple student athletes who are just trying to figure out in today's world of over information what they need to do to safely support their student athletes' dreams and the health of their family. That's what I know to be true at Fueling Champions.
Yes, it's interesting how the whole mind game, as I call it on the Sports Doctor, for decades that we talked about it, that whole attitude, the whole mental game, as we call it, is such a key factor, again, even in your definition of a champion, where we've been overwhelmed with so much overkill. It's one of the reasons, Jill, I co-authored the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is that there's an epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. We're all very, very aware of this tremendous pressure on these kids in so many different ways as sports have become a bigger and bigger part of this whole world of an industry. It's like a $20 billion a year industry. Fueling is a great word. I've always really, really liked that word, and I like that you include the mental side when you're talking about fueling of these kids. Because that's such a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, whether it's the mental aspect or the injury aspect that you bring up, from my vantage point, and I admit that I'm a bit biased, but from my vantage point, what our children are eating impacts those things. So what we eat, what we feed our children, what we eat personally impacts how well we heal from injury, or potentially if we're even more susceptible to injury. And it greatly impacts our mental health. And it's one area that I'd love to see grow just in the mental wellness or mental illness community, but even in our sports mental strength community, having enough of the right food on board absolutely impacts an athlete's ability to focus, stay stress resilient, which we need both in the game, during training, and then just even as our student athletes are going about just being humans and students during the day. And so how we feed our children really impacts that. I think the biggest thing I want parents to know is that you don't have to be perfect with your food. You just have to be consistent. And athletes really get that because they're consistent with their practice. They shoot their free throws. They practice their penalty kicks. They practice their swing over and over again until they continually get better at it. And that's really all we're doing with food. We know we're not going to be perfect. It's not really something we strive for, but we strive for continued improvement and consistency.
You know, I think, you know, some of the challenges, again, as we see in youth sports, where we see whether it's eating disorders, whether it's, you know, our society is only one hype and more commercials than drugs on television, and it's diets. And I think it's funny, our society, even our sports society, Jill, it seems, we always knew that junk food and fast food wasn't good for us. I think the big surprise was that a lot of our quote-unquote normal three-meal-a-day kind of regimen, we turned around, woke up one day, and we had 50% of the country obese, and with this nightmare going on with the with childhood obesity. So we really had to smarten up. But, you know, you can go nuts. Low fat, no fat, vegan, this one, that one. It's fun. It's a constant challenge, it seems. But sports is paying gigantic attention to what you do now at all levels, aren't they?
Well, it certainly has grown and evolved since I started doing this, you know, almost 20 years ago. When I first started working with pro athletes, 10 to 15 years ago, a lot of teams didn't have a director of sports nutrition. So fast forward 10 to 15 years, and now it's rare that they don't. So it has definitely grown because the research is starting to grow. And at the pro level, of course, they're looking for every little bit of thing they can control that gives them the edge. But when we think about our student athletes and something you said earlier about diets and confusion, and we're more confused than ever, and we're more unhealthy than ever, even with all of this information and all these quote-unquote diets out there, I think the biggest thing I teach within Fueling Champions is for the parents to understand that the way they personally choose to eat may or may not be how their student athlete should be eating. Because as a student athlete, there's two major things happening. You're growing and maturing, which as adults, we're pretty much finished with. I mean, some of us still need some maturity, right? But we're done growing from a physiological state. We only really grow if we're repairing from a surgery or an injury. But we're not growing and maturing still. Student athletes are, and so their fuel goes to performance and to growth and maturity and development. And so because of that, the diet that the parent might be adhering to, whatever it is, keto, low fat, fasting, et cetera, may not apply and often does not apply to their student athlete. And so there's often an education that needs to happen on
the parent. Oh, yes, absolutely. What's the website, Jill, people can find out about the Fueling Champions? What's the best site?
The best place to go is just to our homepage, fuelingchampions.org, and from there you can get to all of our social media channels and learn a little bit more about what we do.
Fuelingchampions.org. I think it's a very, very big point you've mentioned, which is, again, a lot, children are not little adults. Children are a different entity. When you're talking about whether it's growth centers and bones, whether you're talking about maturity, whether you're talking about all of these kinds of pressures, we start to see earlier and earlier in traveling teams and some of these serious kids. So understanding and being educated makes an awful lot of sense. And I think that the pediatric and the medical community and the coaching community is really big time on board, although they got a long way to go, baby, don't they, Jill?
Mm. No. Yeah, I'd like to see pediatrics get a little bit farther or a little more involved with screening
yes.
in student athletes because there's a lot of unwell student athletes. You mentioned sickness and illness and overweightness in our youth, but student athletes are mythically often assumed to be healthy because they're quote athletic, but 50% of the student athletes that we serve on a one-on-one basis at Fueling Champions are actually not well at all. They're taking multiple medications.
No.
They have digestive disorders. They're not sleeping well. They have issues with focus and concentration, amongst other things. So our student athletes
yes.
are not well, and that's what makes nutrition even more important to them, or at least a really powerful tool, if we can just look at it
yes.
that way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let alone the orthotics in their shoes and the importance of strengthening their feet and ankles, Jill, when we're talking about the overall picture, with some of these kids and making sure that the parents are educated when it comes to, again, the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries. It's why I co-authored with Hall of Fame volleyballer and prolific author Sharky Zartman. That's the reality with the kinds of pressures that we're seeing today. And it's not only physically, it's mentally with a lot of this overkill. You're a sports mom, right, Jill?
I do. I have three young athletes in my house.
What sports do they play?
Ooh, soccer, volleyball, baseball, and tennis right now.
There you go. And it's interesting, I was talking with Rich, you know, everybody says, and we agree, we want you to play multiple sports, you know, but I've been seeing figure skaters for like 35 years, something like that, putting orthotics in their skates. We still do, and I call my chapter the Prodigy Sports, where we do have these gymnasts, figure skaters, mm-hmm. ballet dancers, even soccer and tennis, that they only want to do one sport, no matter what you mm-hmm. tell them. So that's why I always ask specialists like yourself in this world, Jill, even though you're a nutrition expert, I always ask how your sports psychology skills are.
Yeah, well, my undergrad degree is in exercise science and exercise physiology, so I started off on that side of the coin before I realized that what we eat really matters for physical performance. And what I'll say about specialization is that there's just some sports cultures you're not going to change. You're not going to change the time and effort that the gymnasts have to put in to specialize at a young age. You're just not going to change that culture. They just are going to specialize. So, but the thing that we also have to remember is that if we play multiple sports, we run into the same situation with use. It just might not be overuse of the same movement, meaning
right.
instead of going to gymnastics every day, now they're going to football Monday, soccer Tuesday, tennis Thursday, gymnastics Wednesday. So it's the same. It's an energy equivalency issue, meaning they might not have enough energy coming in the way of food to output to all of those things. So for me, it's the same issue. If someone wants to specialize, that's their choice. They have to just monitor for overuse in sorts of ways. But if someone's going to play multiple sports, they actually have the same issues if they're playing multiple sports in the same season, which a lot of people are doing. And so I think that we just need to support an athlete and a family in the choices that they make, because both inherently have risk and benefits. And we need to just make sure that we prop the kids and the families up with the right amount of information to fuel the success regardless of the path they take.
I see. Your feed, lead, succeed. What's the topic of what you wrote about for the, I'll call it the semi-initial issue of MVP Magazine, Jill?
Yeah, well, you actually touched on it a little bit earlier, the premise that athletes don't diet, they fuel. Athletes shouldn't be thinking about the way they eat as a diet. And to me, a diet is something you start that you plan to end. And so when we train
Nobody
athletes,
likes that word, Jill, right? Everybody hates that word. So if I have a young boy or girl who's a serious athlete playing any of the sports you mentioned, and I want some general important points, that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment. I really want to know how many times a day and what goes into a smart nutrition program for a young growing athlete. We're talking with Jill Lane, the founder of Fueling Champions, from kids to pros. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website. GlobalSchoolWear.com. GlobalSchoolWear.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago with the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. Sometimes talking over a commercial or whatever. It's always an adventure. On live radio, we're talking sports nutrition, particularly youth sports nutrition, with Jill Lane. She's the founder of Fueling Champions. And we were just asking you, Jill, about a sensible bullet points on for that young, developing boy or girl athlete, regardless of their sport? Should I eat 3 meals a day? What about snacks? What goes into a SMART program?
Great. So at Fueling Champions, we teach student athletes and the pros to master 5 basic things. Number one is just to eat enough food. And as you were saying earlier, that really means enough from a how many times throughout the day should I eat. Most of the student athletes come to me barely scratching by eating 3 to 4 times per day. But when we match that up against how much time they train and the fact that they're growing and developing, as we were speaking about before, we really oftentimes bump that up to at least 4 and sometimes 5 and even sometimes 6, depending. Like my swimmers who are expending thousands of hours a day, 2 or 3 hours in a pool, they're sometimes eating up to 6 times per day. So that's number one, eat enough food. The second is to make sure that in that food you're eating enough protein. Now, protein isn't a fuel source for people. It doesn't turn into energy per se, but it's the number one thing for recovery, and it turns into other things in the body. So muscle is the first thing we think of when we think of athletes and athletics, but it also turns into, it helps with bone strength. It helps with our immune system. It helps with
recovery,
our digestive tract. Yeah, recovery
is the new big deal, or definitely one of them. And so I'm glad you mentioned that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the third thing is just to upgrade carbohydrate and fat sources. Most people don't have any issues eating carbs and fats. What we need to do is upgrade them. So we take a student athlete or an athlete from eating regular cereal to oatmeal, from eating fruit juice to whole fruits, things like that. And we take from fried foods to extra virgin olive oil, and fish if they like it, or supplementing with fish oil for brain health. So we just work on slowly upgrading carbohydrate and fat sources, because those are the primary fuel sources, and we want them to burn really hot to help with focus and energy. The fourth is to hydrate really well. The stats show that up to 75% of student athletes just show up to practice already dehydrated, and that's mostly, from my experience, because they're not drinking enough water at school. So that's an easy thing to solve if you're just mindful of it. And the last one is what you interjected earlier, which is to sleep and recover well. And those two really go hand in hand. And I tell all the athletes I work with, when you're not training or competing, you're in recovery mode. Recovery mode is not just when you're sleeping. It's any time you're not training or competing. And so because of that, hydration and fuel during the waking hours and any other things you might do for recovery, whether it's, you know, massage or active recovery or, you know, ice bath.
So what about snacks?
That. Well, that goes into number one, eating enough food. That was in number one, when you eat enough food, if I say a student athlete might need to eat 5 or 6 times per day, it would look like the traditional 3 squares, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but they might need to add between 1 and 3 snacks a day. That's depending on their training load. How much an athlete eats is directly correlated to their size and their training load, because it's like gas in a tank. If you have to drive 1,000 miles, you need gas for 1,000 miles. If you're only driving 500 miles that day, you need 500 miles worth of gas. And so the snacks and the food frequency is dialed in per training load.
And what are some examples of snacks that you recommend?
So it's usually a protein and a carbohydrate mixed together, because oftentimes, and this is just, you know, the two places athletes often are eating enough is breakfast and after school. They go oftentimes from school straight to training with little to no hydration in their system and almost always no food. And so we want a quick and easy to digest snack after school. And that's not the time, as much as I'm a nutritionist and I love for people to eat lots of vegetables and fiber, that's not the time usually for that, because we want something to get into digestion quickly and get out to the working muscle for the training that's coming on board. So sometimes it's something as easy as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on some higher quality bread. Sometimes it's some berries and some nuts and some jerky. Sometimes it's a ready-to-drink protein shake from companies like Orgain or Garden of Life, where they have some certification.
Now, you like
quality.
Water, right, Jill? I mean, you've got energy drinks and Gatorade drinks everywhere we look. In the past, everybody seemed to say, you know, water's that's the best. It's all you need, unless you're really an endurance athlete. What are your thoughts on the energy or sports drinks and or supplements?
Okay, so energy drinks should not at all be consumed by student athletes are teens. And I'm going to tell this to parents right now. Your student athlete most likely is consuming one and you don't even know it. I was in line at 7-Eleven buying gas behind some kids that walked across the street from the school and with their own cash were buying huge energy cans of energy drinks. And I was guaranteeing, I wanted to ask, hey, does your mom know you're buying that? Hey, does your dad know you're buying that? So just have an open dialogue without judgment with your kids. Ask them if they're buying it. And then instead of yelling at them for it, ask them why and find out what it is they're getting from it. So then you can solve that issue. So that's the position.
Yeah, you know what else they
drink
buy when they're online? While they're online with the energy drink, they're buying some Advil because of the discomfort that they're dealing with because of overuse in so many different areas. It's such a big problem. It's one of the things we're really paying big attention to. Chapter in my book, which is youth sports and drugs, and nutrition is such a great answer, smart nutrition, to the fact that so many of these kids rely on over-the-counter medicine or the energy drinks because, doctor, well, you know, my knees hurt, my ankles hurt, this because I'm at practice 12 days a week. It's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, nutrition can certainly help with recovery. Oftentimes, athletes, not just even student athletes, but even pro and adult athletes, stay sore longer than they need to because they didn't refuel correctly after training. They didn't get enough refuel in from a protein and carbohydrate standpoint, and they haven't upgraded their fat sources yet. And so they kind of live with a higher level of systemic inflammation in their body. And so listen, athletes from time to time are going to use some sort of anti-inflammatory over-the-counter thing. It's just kind of like,
yes,
that just comes with athletics. But we first have to address, are you staying sore longer than you should? And is the soreness so painful and acute to the touch and things like that, that there is a bigger injury-related issue? And then you kind of have to reverse engineer, where is that coming from? And nutrition should be a part of that discussion.
Yes, the idea again about how you're talking about how crucial it is for recovery and the idea of enhancing performance and enhancing whether it's focus, whether it's energy, and the ability to be able to do this consistently has an awful lot to do, like you said, with proper fueling. And the big point I get, of course, is the importance of this education and the awareness of these particular topics. You know, we mentioned earlier that, you know, a lot of times the sports physical and the pediatrician pays lip service to this. A coach might or might not pay big attention to this. Well, like you were saying, though, even in junior high school, definitely college sports, pros, you've made tremendous inroads, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an industry-wide explosion in dietetics and nutrition and in the sports science field honoring the impact of nutrition because, quite honestly, you know, you just have to get to a point where you just can't deny that the gas you put in the car, using that as an analogy for our body, matters, and the time you put it in and the quantity that you put it in matters. And so we've kind of gone to the point where people just can't deny it anymore because for a long time they just wanted to say it didn't matter. It matters. Now we're grasping, okay, it matters for recovery. It matters for inflammation. It matters for digestive health. It matters for how well you sleep. It matters for other aspects of an athlete's health and everybody's, you know, other aspects of everybody's health, whether they're an athlete or not. What you eat matters. And so, again, I have to, you know, really echo this because when people hear me speak, they think oftentimes it means being perfect with your food all of the time. And, you know, my family isn't perfect with their food all the time. Pizza happens and birthday cake happens. But what we're saying is let's not have our athletes living off of those foods. If we really want to create a successful athlete and even a champion, let's just add first, before we take away, add more vegetables, add more protein, add more water, add more healthy fats. And you know what? Your athlete will know that they can accomplish their goals.
The name of the game, be aware, be educated. Jill, give me the website again because we're about out of time that people could find out about your great work.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. You can start at fuelingchampions.org.
FuelingChampions.org, Jill Lane, founder of the whole Fueling Champions world, the importance of sports nutrition. Thanks so much, Jill. Hold on. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment. Hold on, Jill.
Hey,
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com.
Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist, and our Sports Doctors In segment, where we mention some upcoming guests and topics, where we answer a few emails. Again, I'll remind everybody how I started off the show with paying attention big time, everybody, regardless of what we're doing, which is to big attention to hygiene and be aware of this health crisis situation. Educate yourself, all aspects of it. Great guests and shows coming up next week. Gary Rubens, the CEO of Athlete Intelligence, will be joining us in the world of concussion awareness and that Vector mouth guard apparatus. And Jim Nolan, and Thrive Fitness. Jim, therapist who helps work in the exercise world with multiple sclerosis, tremendous program that he's involved with. The following week, we're coming from Finland, Adrian Harrell, PhD, CEO of Metacortex, the whole world of concussions. And on that show also is Catherine Price-Snedeker. Catherine is the founder of Pink Concussions, the whole world female side of concussion problems, awareness, great stuff. Let's answer some emails. Charles says, my 14-year-old daughter has dealt numerous times with ingrown toenails, and she's had an infection a couple of times. You know, Charles, ingrown toenails, which are not unusual, fairly common, and they can be corrected usually permanently. When the incident of the ingrown toenail, which might have an infection involved with it, pain involved with it, sometimes the nail could be clipped out. You really, really want to see podiatry. You don't want to try to play around with this yourself. And sometimes we could clip that offending edge out, and that's the end of the problem. Other times we'll see that the ingrown toenail requires a minor office procedure where that edge of the nail is numbed up with some Novocaine and the offending edge of nail is removed. So whatever inflammation or infection could be resolved with some soaks. And when the problem's repetitive, Charles, like you're talking about, we can cauterize that edge so that the ingrown edge never grows back. The nail remains the same, but the offending ingrown edge doesn't grow back. And unless that growth area is paid attention to, it will grow back. Easily solved in a podiatrist's hands. Sally says, my mom is 65 years old. She was diagnosed with a posterior tibial dysfunction, a arch collapse,
What are the treatments? Quite often, Sally, treatments could be conservative, physical therapy to strengthen and deal with symptoms of that collapsed arch. And again, collapsed arch is not a medical term. See podiatry, because orthotics, proper inserts, sometimes connected to a brace, could be extremely helpful in proper support and helpful preventing any further damage to that area. So you want to get professional feedback, podiatry, orthopedic surgery, good specialists to pay attention to what is the specific diagnosis and what's the best thing to be done about it. Tom's got an interesting question. He says, can you train speed and quickness? You know, Tom, you can. And there are speed and quickness coaches, a lot of them, very involved in technique, very involved in alignment, in shoe gear, in the inclusion of orthotics when indicated, and almost universally the strengthening of those feet and ankles and balance work. And so, yes, you definitely can train the ability to, in your own capacity, increase your speed, sometimes quite significantly, other times less. But you can pay attention to those things which involve what is the foot mechanics of who we're talking about. Are you pronated or flat-footed? Then orthotics, shoe change might be of dramatic help to you. Do you have any weakness, foot-ankle, which is very common? Strengthening going to be very, very beneficial for you. What's your technique like? What if you get under the tutelage of some of these groups that deal with that? My longtime friend, one of the coaches of the track team, the Aurora Flyers, Tom Boatwright, speed coach for years, involving so much in the area of technique. Angie says, my 16-year-old son plays football. He's played since junior high school. He was told that any kind of bracing or taping for the ankles weakens the ankles. Is that true? Angie, no, it's not true. Although ankle brace or tape might be very, very helpful for your son, if he's got a history of problems, then some protection absolutely makes sense. And I wrote an excellent article on this very topic. If you go to sportsdoctorradio.com, you go to newspaper articles and magazines, I have an article on pros and cons of taping versus braces. And in general, both can be very, very helpful. They don't weaken anything. They don't replace aggressive strengthening and proper alignment. So when that athlete, male or female, has a history of problems with an ankle, and we're absolutely looking to one of the two, which is either proper taping in the right hands can be very, very helpful, or there's various varieties of bracing. You could check with a physical therapist or sports physician to see the type of brace that might be most effective. But any way we go, we want to include an aggressive strengthening program like rubber bands, which is one of the types of exercise. I don't care what your sport is. I don't care what your level is. I don't care what your son or daughter's age is. Strengthening the feet and ankles, rubber band exercises makes so much sense. Ankles are still the number one injury site. So it's a great question in that situation. Gene asks, you always talk about the mental game. Why don't you elaborate on that? Big deal. You got to pay attention to attitude. You got to pay attention to the fact that you are aware of how important it is. These things are key. We're about out of time, everybody. So we will see you all next week. Another edition of the Sports Doctor. Thanks. Have a good week.